I found what works. As a 7-year-old boy, sitting on the front row of Pleasantry Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina, the Holy Ghost of God passed by my way and showed me my need of a Savior. I remember running to that altar under Holy Ghost conviction, and I found what works. Amen. It has been 23 years, almost 24 years in February since I got born again. And I'm completely satisfied tonight with Jesus. Amen. Everything that I want, I have it. And it ain't anything you can see tonight. It's Jesus in me. It is Christ in me. He's enough. Amen. He is sufficient. Man, what a privilege to serve God. Amen. What a privilege to serve the Lord. I'm wrestling, amen, right now. I feel like I had in my mind what the Lord wanted us to preach tonight, but with the service, I don't know how it's going to fit, amen. So I've been praying, asking the Lord for divine direction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and we're going to see what the Lord will have us to do, amen. I want to be sensitive to Him. I don't want to miss the will of God, amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege that it is, Lord, to be saved by the good grace of God. We thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us to be in Your house, to be gathered with God's people and to fellowship one with another. Thank You, Lord, for the songs of Zion. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to sing about the work of grace that took place in our hearts. Lord, what a privilege it is to be a part of the family of God and to know You in the free pardon of sin. We thank You again for this church. Thank You for the people of God, their, Lord, generosity to us. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've done this week thus far in the preaching of the Word of God. And, Lord, we thank You for the liberty that You've given. We ask now that You would continue to bless tonight. We pray that Your blessing might be upon the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of it. We pray that You would fill us with Your power, anoint us with the Holy Ghost, and allow us to declare the truth of Thy word. I pray that You would take it and, Lord, instruct the heart of the believer. And, Lord, would You deal and convict the heart of a sinner. I pray, Father, that You would draw us nigh unto Yourself. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, be lifted up here tonight. You said if You'd be high lifted up, You'd draw all men unto Yourself. And so, God, I'm begging You, Lord, to be lifted up. We pray now that You would be honored with everything that will be done and accomplished. We pray that the touch of God might be upon the remainder of the service. And truly, God, may in all things You receive the glory and the honor. May no flesh glory in Your presence. But, Lord, may You truly be glorified here tonight. We'll give You that glory that's due Your name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe we're going to be in the book of James tonight. Amen. The book of James, chapter number 1. The book of James, chapter number 1. And when you find your place there, we'll be in James, chapter number 4. James, chapter number 4. I'd like to go a different direction, but I'm not going to be able to. Amen. We're going to honor God with what He's directed our heart to. Amen. I trust the Lord to give us something from the Word of God. Amen. James chapter 1, James chapter 4. Let me say real quickly, and I've failed to do this, but I do appreciate your hospitality and the generosity of the church, the room to stay, the meals, preacher. We thank you for that, and so appreciate the opportunity to be with you this week. And we're so thankful for the burden of the meeting. We're thankful for the pastor being led of God to have it. And thankful that the Lord would allow me and my family to be a part of it. And we trust that the Lord would continue what He has started. Amen. Even when we are gone, I trust God would continue what He's begun in our hearts this week. James chapter number 1, you find your place. We can stand together. We're going to read a few verses. Slip over to James chapter number 4 as well. James chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive, anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James chapter number 4, we're going to start reading again in verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. You can be seated. As I begin to consider these texts, when I study, I really, and God starts working in my heart, I start reading a book and just read it over and over and over again. And as I begin to consider the text of James and this great book, we could probably safely say, and I'm sure you could find other themes, that the theme of the book of James is a book of spiritual maturity. His desire for the scattered saints of God is for them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach spiritual perfection. Spiritual perfection. Now, don't let that word scare you tonight. Amen. The word perfect. Don't let it scare you. What that word means, we don't believe in sinless perfection. Amen. There's not one of us that are sinless and perfect. There was only one, and his name was Jesus. Amen. And so we don't believe that. As children of God, we are not perfect and sinless. However, we have a responsibility to strive for perfection. And what that simply means is that we should be walking in all the truth that God has given us to walk in. Amen. You want to find a spiritually mature individual, it is an individual who is walking in all the truth that God has given them to walk in. I'll say this. Just because you've been saved for 10, 15, 20, even 30 years does not mean that you are spiritually mature. Amen. You can know more about this Bible than anybody else in the building. That does not mean you're spiritually mature. Amen. Matter of fact, I've met some individuals that have only been saved 1, 2, and 3 years that were more spiritually mature, amen, than ones that have been saved 10 and 15. Why? Because they were walking in all the truth that they had known, that they had been preached and taught. They were living by the Word of God, amen, that they had been instructed to live by. And they were reaching a point of spiritual maturity, amen, to a whole nother level than those who had been saved a long time. Amen. So James has a desire for us to, amen, take a step forward. Amen. Amen. Every pastor, every man of God worth his salt has a desire for the people that he is the shepherd over, amen, to take a step forward in their Christian walk with God. Amen. You should not want to level out. You ought to have a desire within you, amen, to get to higher ground, amen. You ought to have a desire by the end of this week, amen, to be reaching higher ground than you've ever reached before for the glory of God. So James begins to deal with their immaturity. Deals with their immaturity concerning temptation. Their immaturity concerning their testimony. Immaturity concerning their tongue and their temper. Immaturity concerning time. Immaturity concerning their treasure. Immaturity concerning their temperance. On and on. And throughout the entire book of James, amen, there's a theme that James is dealing with, their immaturity concerning the truth. It seems to be a theme this week, does it not? And immaturity concerning the truth. As we consider this part of this immaturity and James's motive, as we consider what he's trying to say, in chapter number one, as he's introducing his heart, he introduces us to an individual that I believe is the most spiritually immature individual you'll ever meet. The Bible calls him for the first time. You'll never see him anywhere in the Word of God except for in the book of James, and he's introduced twice to us. The Bible calls him a double-minded man. A double-minded man. And if I can, if the Lord will help us, I want to try to deal with this man and preach with this thought in mind on defining a double-minded man. A double-minded man. The mind is such a vast and complex subject to deal with, we'd be here all night long. For truly every facet of your life, stay with me, I'm going somewhere, amen. For every facet of your life deals or is impacted or influenced by the mind. The mind deals with conception. It deals with creativity, curiosity, your conscience, choices, confidence, confusion, compassion, amen. Your compassion is affected by your mind. How you perceive someone to be can truly relate how much compassion you have on them. Compassion, contention, contentment, control, comprehension, conversation, communication, corruption, carnality, and your Christianity. Every bit of these are directly or indirectly related to the influence of your mind. The mind is the control console to the body. Can we agree? I know this is simple. I'm trying to build a foundation. Amen. It is the control console of the body. As Paul was talking, amen, he began in Corinthians, he said, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I believe that's right. But he made a statement. He said, we walk in the flesh. Amen. We're all robed in this flesh. But we do not war after the flesh. Amen. He switched out the verb there from walk to war. And what he let us know in the continuing verses is that your spiritual walk is going to involve a mental war, amen, that you are going to have to deal with. And the very next phrase, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We understand this. Paul said, as a result of all that, he said, I with the mind serve God. With his mind. Here's what you need to understand. I'm going somewhere, amen. You have two natures. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have two natures. If you don't have two natures and you can't discern between the new man that God put in you at salvation, amen, and the old man you have living in you, you're lost without God on your way to hell, amen. You need to get born again. But if you're born of the Spirit, there are two natures. You have your Adamic nature, that carnal man that's inside of you, waiting on the redemption. Thank God for that day, amen. But you have that carnal man, but you have the spiritual man within you that's as holy as God is. Amen. What a thought. Amen. That God put that within us. But you have two natures. They're at war one with another. They lust one against another. And so there is a struggle going on. Do you understand what that is if you are saved? Now, you have two natures. Struggling for control of the body and the battleground of their war is your mind. You have two natures, but you only have one mind. I know this is simple, but you only have one mind. You have two natures struggling for control of that mind. And whichever nature controls the mind controls the body. How do you know someone's carnally minded? Because they live carnal. How do you know someone is spiritually minded? Because they live spiritually. They have a spiritual walk with God. You have two natures warring over the mind. And so that nature, whichever one controls the mind and the thoughts of the mind, will dictate to the body how he behaves. You with me? Amen. So you have one mind that is being controlled by two, or being fought over, warred over by two different natures. However, there is an individual that's being introduced in James chapter 1, James chapter 4, that is double-minded. He's intriguing to me. He scares me to death. Because the more I found out about the double-minded man, the more I saw him in me. Double-minded man. What is he doing that makes him a double-minded man in these texts? I may teach for a minute and I'll go somewhere, I promise you. What is the double-minded man doing that makes him a double-minded man? We know what the result is. He's unstable in all his ways. But what's he doing that qualifies him, classifies him as a double-minded man? As we consider who he is, the very term double-minded, the Greek word is dipsychos, if you want to, and probably a different way of saying that. But what it means is two-spirited. Double in opinion, double in purpose, double-minded. Double-minded, wavering, uncertain, doubting, divided in interest. The difference, let me tell you something, I believe the double-minded man is a saved individual. Now I need to clarify this. He is a saved individual. A saved individual. That's who James is talking to here. Now hold on. There's a big difference between a double-minded man and a hypocrite. Hypocrite's a lost man. Double-minded man's a saved man. A hypocrite is trying to be something that he is not. A double-minded man is trying to be both. Think about it with me. Stay with me. It is something that is unusual, something that is unnatural, but it is very real tonight. So I want to try to consider, how do we define who this double-minded man is? Let's consider the verses that are in front of us. We understand, first of all, that this double-minded man is a divided man. This man has been given two options, carnality and spirituality. Those are the only two options on the shelf for the child of God. Now, although this word double-minded assumes he is undecided, this man is trying to make a choice. Look at what he's saying in verses number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberty and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This man has been presented with carnality or spirituality. Those are the two choices. And he is asking for wisdom from God in dealing with this choice that he's about to make. Are you staying with me? He is asking God. Here's the context. The context is temptation. So this man apparently is being tempted with carnality. He has been given a choice. You fall to the temptation of your flesh, or do you walk in truth? Do you give in to the lust, or do you walk in liberty as you walk in the Word of God? You've got the two choices. As this man is being approached with these choices, he then begins to ask God for wisdom in how to deal with his flesh. He asks God, would you give me that wisdom on how I am to handle this temptation, this struggle, this lust within me? God, give me the wisdom. Give me the truth. By the way, let me say this. If you are having a problem with your flesh and you go to God and you say, Lord, you've got to help me. Give me something from your word. Give me something from my reading. Something that'll help me and instruct me. I promise you this, God will give you what you ask him. God will always, are you hearing me, give you what you need to overcome your flesh and overcome sin. This man received it. But the same time he was asking for wisdom and trying to grab a hold of spirituality, at the same time he's choosing the spiritual way, he is grabbing a hold of the carnal way. And he does them both at the same time. Oh, man. He's doing them both at the same time. The same time he's asking for wisdom, he's choosing to pursue the world. The thought of a man having, I mean, it almost seems impossible that a man can have two minds. But here he is. It's on the brink of insanity. By the way, a double-minded man is just about an insane person. You'll find out in just a minute. Here's what it is. It's to have a mind to work and at the same time, a mind to be slothful. It does not seem to be able to coexist. It's the mind to fight and a mind to flee all at the same time. A mind to stand and yet a mind to surrender. A mind to tell the truth and a mind to deceive. A mind to serve and a mind to be still. A mind that decides and a mind that dismisses. He's divided between opposites. Divided in interest. He has interest in both. Divided in opinions. He's got opinions for both. Divided in directions. He's wanting to go both ways. Divided in purpose. Divided in persuasion. Divided in priority. He's asking God, give me wisdom to deal with this temptation. And the moment he's reaching for help from God in dealing with it, he is latching on to his flesh. 1 Kings chapter number 18, the Bible tells us, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Amen. Y'all, I feel like preaching right about now. Amen. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Here's what that word halt, here's what that word means. It does mean to hesitate. Pause. They're caught in the headlights of having to make a decision. Here's what else that word means. It means to skip. Because here's what they were doing. They were over here serving God, serving the Lord God as long as God was blessing them. But the moment the blessings ran out and the worldly leaders took control and the king started putting up the idols and they realized it don't pay as much to serve God as it used to, they ran over here and started bowing down to Baal. And they worshiped Baal and they glorified Baal until the world couldn't pay them and couldn't do for them what God could do for them. And then they ran over here back to God. Are y'all following this? And you come over here and you'll serve God. I'm going to put it now where we live. You want to serve God? Preacher, there's nothing more I want to do than to give my life to God, dedicate my ways to God, and live for the Lord. This is what God wants for me. But the moment, are you hearing me? The moment you lose your joy, the moment you run into hard times, the moment you find yourself a little bit discontented with the will of God for your life, you run back over here to Baal and you start bowing down to Baal, start bowing down to the money, to the jobs, to the friends, to the world, and you start doing obeisance over here. But as soon as the friends fail you, as soon as the job turns around, as soon as you hit rock bottom, are you hearing me? And the bank account's running dry and you realize you need God, you run back over here and you say, dear God, I'm sorry I messed up. I've asked you to forgive me. Let me worship you. I want to do your will. But as soon as you're miserable, you run back over here and you bow down to the world. Back and forth. Back and forth. How long hold ye between two opinions? Stuck right here is where you want to be. Right here in the middle is what you want. You're split. You're divided. I just don't know. I'll give God a try. Anybody who's ever given God a try has always been the most miserable person in the world because you don't try him on for size. You submit to him. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll live for you. Oh, yeah. You come back over here when the will of God's not all that you thought it was going to be, not as glamorous, not as beneficial, not as wonderful as everybody said it was going to be. It's a lonely trip over there. That's a lonely road right there. Few there be that find it. That's a lonely... So I'd much rather have my friends. I'd much rather have the money in the bank. I'd much rather be able to have my entertainment and have my own lust being fulfilled and the wants of my own flesh. I'd much rather, and there's a lot more joy over here than there is over there. Until you're dissatisfied and you're miserable and there ain't enough money in the world to buy you the joy that you're missing. So you run back over here, and for a few moments after you get out of that altar, there's tears running down. You hearing me tonight? There's tears running down your face. You're so thankful that God's had mercy on you. You're so excited about what the day's gonna bring forth because you've done got right with God and you want to live for Jesus and you want to give your all to God. Oh, you want, that's what you want. Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I want. Until it's not everything you wanted. I don't know where we got that mindset that God gives you everything you want. Listen to me now. There's a lot of things I want. I'd love to have a brand new pickup truck. I'd love to have a bigger house. But right now, that ain't where I'm at. You would be surprised how many people jumping ship over the monetary things that they can't get while they're serving God. That's where I'm going, but I'm getting ahead of myself, amen. And so what you're going to do, here's what you're doing. You're going to try to get everything you can get out of here. And at the same time, get everything you can get out of here. And what you have found yourself is split between two opinions. And you're holding on to both of them for dear life. You know what you are? You're double double-minded. Double-minded. He's a divided man. He's a distracted man. The man that is caught in this juncture of being torn between two, that is the most distracted man you'll ever meet in your life. Amen. You know how I know? I've been there. Amen. I've been sitting right here holding on to the will of God and holding on to the wants of my flesh all at the same time and wanting the best of both worlds. You know what I found myself? I found myself the most distracted man that could have ever walked on God's green earth. Because over here to this crowd, man, I had to be a certain way. Had to sing with the right kind of performance, had the right kind of joy, the right kind of energy. I had to act in such a way. But then when I was over here with this crowd, are you hearing me tonight? I had to listen to a whole other kind of music. I had to behave and talk a whole completely different way. Had to even dress a different completely way. I had to live a whole other life. And here's the problem. I couldn't let this crowd find out what this crowd knew, and I couldn't let this crowd find out what this crowd knew. I was split and distracted. And so here's what I did while I was over here. I covered up to the friends everything that I was holding on to over there. And I covered up over here everything I was holding on over there. And all it was a messed up day by day misery. Amen. As I tried to cover the spiritual instability that I was suffering from. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about distracted. Distracted. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I can see the recognition coming up in your eyes. You're trying to hide it, but I see it. It's glistening in your eyes. Lord, help me. How did he find out? We're all there. We've all been there. You're holding on to both. Trying to survive. You're distracted. You're talking about spiritual immature. You're talking about spiritual immature. Here's what happened. I used to use my daughter's illustration. Alexa, she don't like it too much anymore. But I can use Evelyn because she's a devil. Don't let her fool you. But here's what I can do. I can take a thing of M&M's. And I could take a candy bar and I could stick it in front of Alexis then, Evelyn now. Alexis got smart enough. And I could stick both of them in front of her and say, all right, which one you want? You can only have one. And you know what they're going to do? But Daddy, I want both. And Alexis would go, please. You can't have both. You only have one. Now, she can get away with that. But you've been saved for 5, 10, and 15, and 20 years. And the amount of truth you're getting from this pulpit, you should know better. But you're holding on. Preacher, I want both. I want both. Don't make me choose one. I want both. Divided. He's distracted. He's doubting. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. He's a doubting man. Can we just be honest? Can I be honest? Every time you have found yourself right here, you may find yourself right here tonight. You want just enough God for God to bless you. And you want enough, just enough world for your flesh to be pacified. And you want to stay right here. Come on now. You know why you're here? It's because you're full of doubt. If you really believed that God could satisfy you, you would let go in a heartbeat and fall in love with Jesus tonight. You, if you really believed that Jesus was enough, you'd come to the altar and you'd sell out, surrender all, and submit your ways to God. If you really believed it, He'd have every part of your life. If you really believe it, but you don't believe it, do you? You want to. You want to. But you don't believe it enough to give Him everything. But at the same time, if you believe the world was enough, if you believed for 1 minute that the world could give you everything you needed, you'd let go of God, the church, and the body of Christ in a heartbeat. And you'd run to the world with everything you got. But you don't believe they can satisfy you either. You know! Everybody who's went over here has come back empty. You know everybody that's went this way has ended up in ruin, heartbreak. You know it. But you saw them enjoying the pleasure for the season. You saw them having a good time. And that's all you want. Just a little bit. And just a little bit of this. And man, I am set. That's why, God help us tonight. That's why you come down to an altar. As God is dealing in your heart and fingering around with the sin you're holding on to, that's why you come down to an altar and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom and how to deal with this. Give me the truth that I need to walk in so I can have victory. And you get up from that altar, tears flowing down your face. You've made amends with God. And you go back and sit down on the pew, but you have not one time ever let go of what you was holding on to. You pacified your mind. You felt good. You felt good right about there. But you know, you really never committed your ways to the Lord. The question is tonight, what are you going to do with truth? What are you going to do with truth? It either is right or it's not. It either works or it don't work. It either satisfies or it does not satisfy. What are you going to do? Question is, what are you going to do with the world? Either world's enough or it's not. Either it satisfies or it doesn't. Either it lasts or it doesn't. But you've got to choose. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's like the man who went down to get him a new car. You go and you finally get it narrowed down to just two different choices. But, I mean, you like everything about this one and you like just about everything on this one. I mean, you like them both the same. But you can't walk away and afford to pay for both. Come on now, stay with me. You got to make a choice. Here we are back to the choosing again. You've got to make a choice. So it's like this. Yep, this is the one I'm going to take. Nope. This is the one that I want. Yes, this is the dream work. Draw up the paper. I come out there with the papers for you to sign. I really think this is going to be the best fit for me. Guess what? You can only do that for so long. And sooner or later, you got to make the choice. All doubt has got to be erased. You know why? Because with either one you choose, a commitment has to be made. Are you hearing me? And with a commitment comes the bill. I told you Wednesday night, truth ain't free. There is a cost to truth. You have to pay for it. You're going to pay the price to live it. Ain't no fairy tale about that. You got to pay the price to live. But there is a cost with truth. But there's consequences to the world. And either way, it's going to cost you something. What you have to determine is which one you're going to pay. Come on now. You got to pay for one or the other. Which one's it going to be? No, you heard me. Which one? You know, there's a cost over here. But you also know there's a contentment guarantee over here too. You know there's some pleasure over here. But you know there's consequences you got to pay for. There's some hidden fees that you won't see coming. You hearing me tonight? You've got to pay. You've got to choose. Which one's it going to be? He's a doubting man. He's a deceived man. He thinks it's a possibility. He thinks it is possible for him to have both. I don't know how many times about over and over. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love God and love the world. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Are you hearing me? What are you going to do? You've got to choose one. You've got to choose the other. You've got to commit. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because if you know you commit here, you've got to pay the cost. And you don't want to pay the cost. And you don't want to commit here because you know there's consequences. And you don't want to suffer the consequences. So what you want is the world without consequence and truth without a cost. That is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. You can't have both. He's a deceived man. He's a driven man. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So on the ocean of split decision, here's what's happening underneath, inside where nobody else can see. Are you still with me tonight? There's a current pulling. There's a current pulling deep inside you. Oh, every time the man of God gets up and preaches, testifies, every time the people of God worship and bring glory to His name and talk about the goodness of the Lord, what a privilege it is to serve Him. There's a current pulling. There's a current pulling. Choose this way. Choose the right way. Choose the narrow way. Choose Christ. Choose God. He's enough. He satisfies. Choose this one. You walk out of the doors of the church, and there's yet another current pulling. And the friends say, come with us. let us all have one purse. Come with us. Cast in thy lot among us. Come with us. Let us lay away privately for the innocent blood. Come with us. Come with us. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's still a current pulling. With the help of God tonight, I'm going to pull everything I got and let you know. Jesus is enough tonight. He satisfies every longing of my heart. The world has never met the void inside me. I'm satisfied and happy with Him alone. So I'm going to let the current pull tonight and let you know He's enough. The world's pulling on them as hard as they can. The flesh is pulling. The devil's pulling as hard as he can. I want to do my part to pull back. But you're talking about a driven man. The pressure mounts. Oh, I know I've been there. Pressure mounts. The preacher's on you. The teachers are on you. It's mom and dad's on you. It's always pressure, 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 pressure. Choose. It's miserable. You gotta choose. You can't have both. The wind's blowing. The waves are beating and the current is pulling. You have to choose. You're going to choose. I'm almost done. Stay with me. You're going to choose or somebody's going to choose for you. Orpah loved Naomi. And she loved Ruth. But she couldn't make up her mind between Naomi and Bethlehem Judah and Moab. She just couldn't choose between the two. She couldn't. How do you choose between that? She just could not fathom making that choice. So you know what happened? Naomi made the choice for her. Ruth made the choice. And not even Naomi could change her mind. You're going to have to choose. He's a driven man. He's a defiant man. I'm almost done. Please stay with me. He is a defiant man. The greater the demand for the commitment, the greater the conflict arises inside. The closer to God, the Holy Ghost inside you will cry. And the same time the flesh cries, do what you want to do. The conflict arises, it intensifies. And there is literally a war raging within you. James chapter number 4, from whence comes wars and fightings among you. There's a battle raging. And what you will find is this individual who is trying to do both will be a very dangerous person to be around. James in chapter number 3, when he is writing here, he stands up a man, the Bible says, who has some wisdom. Send that one that's wise. When he's talking about that tongue and everything, he takes somebody and he says, show him a wise man. Here's what he does. He takes that individual that's made the right choices and he stands him up and he says, see that right there? That is a man who's made the right choice to serve God. The moment he highlights him, you can read James 7 and 3 when you get home. The moment he highlights him, he says, now, hang on a minute. You see all the envy and that strife that just rose up in your heart toward him? That's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife end, strife is? There's confusion and every evil work. You know what the word confusion is? Unstable. What's a double-minded man? Unstable. So here's what happens. Here's what happens. Stay with me, please. Here's what happens. Here's what I can do tonight. I can show you a man tonight out near Paducah, Kentucky. Made a choice. He was going to serve God with his life. He has dedicated his life to serve the Lord, support missions. And tonight, he is a multimillionaire. Lives in a house that's three times this church. Building him another mansion on the hillside in outside Denver, Colorado. Happy and serving God. Here's the truth. If I told you, if I stood him up and said, right there is a man who's made the choice to serve God, and that is what you can have if you'll just make this choice, you know what happened? Everybody in the building would throw their hands up and say, yes! That's it! I'll go with God. Same time, I can stand up another man. God saved out of a mess. Tonight, he's living in a, used to live his, most of his life. He lived in a little single wide trailer. Tonight, the church provided him a house to live in, beautiful house, real nice. It's smaller, but it's a nice house. He drives around, and I think about a 76 Chevrolet pickup truck, rust bucket. He loves it. I'd be scared to drive it. But he loves it. Got an old minivan, him and his wife, and they travel around the country and he preaches the gospel. Goes into the jails and the detention centers and he preaches. And you will not find a man who is more excited about the things of God than he is. You'll not find a man who will worship God at the drop of a hat than Brother David Wells. You won't find a man who is more contented than he is tonight. And if I stood him up and I said, right there is the will. If you'll make this choice, this is what you can have. There ain't a single one of you that'll raise your hands and say, yep, that's what I want. You know why? Because you're focused on all of the monetary benefits that comes from serving God. Here's what the double-minded man wants. Here's what he wants. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I got to finish. Here's what he wants. He wants carnal benefits that are reaped through spiritual blessings. That's what he's after. He's wanting everything he can get out of the world. And he's wanting God to give it to him. So he holds on to both. I want both! Here's the thing. Both of those men have what they had making the same choice. Praise God. They made a choice to serve Jesus. They gave their life to God, got saved by the grace of God, submitted their ways unto the Lord. Whatever, Lord, you need me to do, however you need me to do it, that's what I want to do. God called the one into the ministry. He don't have much, but praise God, he's happy. The other one, if he lost it all tonight, he'd still raise his hands and worship God and be happy. You know why? Their choice did not revolve about monetary, worldly, carnal things. It revolved around Jesus. That individual that wants it, here's the thing, here's what he'll do. Help us, Lord. I know I've been long. I'm trying to finish. I'm minding God. Listen to me. That person will look at an individual with the money and everything that they want, and they'll be filled with envy of them. And the one that don't have anything that they want, the one of the lowest state, they'll despise him. Double-minded man don't fit in with anybody. You getting that tonight? You need to grab a hold of that. You can't fit in with, you are so jealous over the envious of those that have the things that you want, and yet there's this crowd that has far less than you do, but man, they're happy and they love God and they serve God with all of their might, their talent. They love Jesus and you despise them. You know why? Because they don't have anything that you've got and they're still happier than you are. You are so discontented, always wanting something else that God's going to give you because you deserve it. You're here on the pew. God help you. Lord knows my heart. I have a desire. We have a desire to have a bigger house, 4 kids. I'd like to have a bigger house. Let me tell you something tonight. I say before my wife, my family, and my God, if God don't ever give me a bigger house, I'll still be happy with Jesus tonight. I do not regret the choice that I made to serve God. I'm not envious over someone who has more than me. But I definitely don't despise somebody else who's closer to God than I am. Here's the thing. You'll do whatever it takes to have it too. That's what it says. Chapter number 4. He said, you lust and you have not. You kill, desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask amiss. You ask and you have not, because you ask amiss. In other words, that word means simply this: you did it terribly wrong. You know why? Because you're asking for this here as long as God gave you a little bit of this here. You ask so you could consume it on your own lust. He is a driven man. He's a desolate man. Here's what God said. Don't let that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Preacher Raines called him a man that even God cannot bless. God will see to it. As long as you listen to me, young ladies, young men, as long as you sit right here trying to hold on to both, God will see to it he don't do anything for you. The only blessings from God you'll reap is over the cause of the benefits and the blessings of somebody else. And the only contentment you'll get out of here is watching somebody else live what you want. As long as you stay right here, God ain't had nothing to do with you. He's an empty. That's why. That's why you're so discontented with Jesus. I have never seen a generation that's more unhappy serving God than this generation. They can't stand coming to church. It's a duty for them to do anything for God. We wonder why there's no touch, why there's no blessing, why there's no anointing and there's no power. Because they're sitting right here in the middle, they're double-minded, and God cannot bless them. He's a desolate man. He's a dysfunctional man, unstable in all his ways. He's going to struggle. Listen to me. That man will struggle with contentment all of his days. He'll want the benefits of a paycheck without working the job. The benefits of being married without tying the knot. The benefits of being part of a church without ever having to attend it. The benefits of a home without the responsibility of building it. The benefits of being a Christian without ever having to be godly. Unstable. Lastly, and I'm done, he will be a deciding man. You are going to decide. You are going to choose. No, preacher, I'm going to stay right here. Let me tell you something. In 2 years, I've watched God jerk the covers off of those that were sitting right here. And let me tell you something, I'll be the first to admit, they had a pretty good thing going. Man, they had this and had a little bit of this all at the same time. And nobody knew about it. They did a pretty good job covering. You know what? They was miserable. They were desolate. And they got to the point, they revealed their own selves. And they had got to the point, preacher, they had to have somebody make a choice for them because they couldn't choose. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, I've seen it. They could not make the choice. So they reveal their own selves to come to the preacher and say, here it is. Now you choose. You're going to choose. Sooner or later, you're going to have to choose. Let me tell you something. Church of Laodicea, and I'm done. I promise. I know I've been saying it. I'm done after this statement. Church of Laodicea. He said, you ain't hot and you ain't cold. You're lukewarm. Now, if I was to ask the preacher, would you rather have a cold one or a lukewarm one? I don't know what he might say. I tell you what I'd say. I'd say I'd like to have the one that's a little lukewarm for this purpose. There's a little bit of heat in there. Ain't got that much farther to go to get them red hot. I mean, we can get them going. I mean, at least they're somewhat faithful. At least they do give a little bit. At least there's some involved. Fleshly, carnally speaking, that's what I'd say. You know what God said? I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, sitting right here in the middle. And as a result, I want to let you know you make me sick, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're contented tonight. You're contented with a little bit of heat and a little bit of cold. Makes the flesh very comfortable. It makes God sick. And you can try to stay there as long as you can. The longer you stay there, the more you're at risk to lose. The currents, the winds, and the waves will tear you apart. And I've seen them suffer loss of everything. Trying to stay right here. God got to the point he was done and he spewed them out. So yeah, I'll just hold on to your religion, your traditions. Hold on to a little bit of God, a little bit of church, and hold on to your own will, your own ways. And you'll stay miserable all of your days to the point God ain't going to have anything to do with you anymore. Or you can do what I did. Sitting right there, probably 13 years ago now. Wasn't that long ago. Torn. I mean torn, brother. Addicted to country music. Friends in it. I had a hold on me. And at the same time, I so wanted to serve God because he put that inside me. That didn't last too long. And I'll never forget the night. I couldn't go to sleep. I was so being driven by the currents. I find myself out of the house. It was cold, cold, cold. 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, caught up in the barn between the hay bales. And said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I can't do it. I really want it. But Lord, I'd rather have you. I really want her. But I really, really got to have you. And that night, I was done. And I gave everything to Jesus. Let me tell you something. I ain't never, ever been the same since then. Salvation was a wonderful thing. But the night I submitted my life to God, it just about equals it. Because I ain't never been the same. Let me tell you, I watched God take my life, put every piece that you see tonight, put it all together. Like that. And I know I ain't much. And you probably look at me going, man, dude, that dude's crazy. Let me tell you something. I'm happy. I got everything that I could ever dream of having. And more to come. That ain't nothing about me. That's the benefit of making the right choice. But you can't have it right here in the middle. You cannot be a double-minded man for long.